Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and we're continuing on part two as we recap the week that was, which we just finished up talking about UFC 201, where Tyron Woodley upset Robbie Lawler by first round KO to become the new welterweight champion, and how a new Polish star was born with Karolina Kowalczyk as she roughed up and won a split decision over Rose Namajunas. And then just talking about recapping that whole 2-on-1 card, which on paper just didn't look like the card that we were going to, not the card I was expecting to follow UFC 200. I was expecting a blockbuster card to follow 200. And so I was a little disappointed in it. But then, when I sat down and I started watching the fights, there was nothing to be disappointed about. These were spectacular fights. Maybe not the household names you're thinking of, but these fights were full of action. A lot of KOs, a lot of, like, you know, one-shot KO situations. I think pretty much the entire main card was all full of upsets. So you had drama with the upsets. You had some powerful knockouts. You had a great week to cap off, a great weekend. Now, we're about to talk about a little bit more into, we're going to dive into the Invicta card, Invicta 18. Invicta doesn't have a lot of cards, so I wanted to give it the respect that it deserved by touching on this. And I'm a big fan of Invicta, and a lot of people don't get a chance to see Invicta. And so I wanted to talk about some of these cards. The main event was Jody Escobel versus Alexis Grasso. And Grasso's been off with injuries, and so she hasn't fought in a while, but she is a definite title contender for the strawweight title in Invicta. And so that was the main event, and it was a great card. It was a great fight. Alexa Grasso really showcased her skills. She's a small lady, but she is a tough woman. She took some shots, but I mean she threw tons of combinations. Great movement. She just, even though she was a smaller fighter, she actually was the tougher fighter, and that ultimately was the fight there. It was a unanimous decision. But it was about the aggression from Alexis Grasso, the combinations, the constant pressure. She really, really busted up Jody Escobel. Jody's nose was really, really shattered and busted up. She caused some damage, and Alexis Grasso took some damage too, because she ended up getting her eye kind of swollen a little bit. But all in all, it was a really good fight to cap things off. The one question that I had about this Invicta card, and I just didn't understand, was, and it was with Invicta, I thought this was the perfect opportunity to showcase the biggest and best fight they can put together. And the biggest and best fight they can put together is Chris Cyborg versus Megan Anderson. So I was disappointed that they did not make Megan Anderson's fight the main event. And I think they lost an opportunity to really promote and showcase one of their premier athletes. And make no mistake, Megan Anderson's an athlete. And so Megan Anderson had her fight against Peggy Morgan. And the thing that, if you haven't seen Megan Anderson, Megan has, each time she gets in the ring, she's stronger. Her kicks are better. Her combinations are better. Her takedown defense is better. She is an improving fighter. And now she's improved to the point where it's not just me saying, hey, I want to see Megan Anderson versus Chris Cyborg. Cyborg is even noticing it and talking about how, you know, she's willing to fight Megan Anderson when she's ready. How she tweets how she's looking, she's going to be watching Megan Anderson at Invicta. So if Cyborg's talking about it, I'm talking about it. Other fight experts are talking about it. Why didn't Invicta make this their main event card? Because this was an opportunity to create another star in the Invicta world. And, you know, even though they didn't make this their main event, Megan came in as a star and she walked out a star. She went there and she beat Peggy Morgan down. And this time, her last fight, she won with a very powerful kick. This time, it was the overhand right. She kept landing that overhand right on Peggy Morgan. Peggy kept trying to get away from it, and it just kept landing on her jaw and kept landing on her jaw. And guys, you should tune in, look it up. You can just type in Peggy Morgan. The first thing you're going to see is what Megan Anderson did to Peggy Morgan's jaw. It looked like she had a giant like ball in her jaw. It was huge. Her face had become deformed by all the shots that she took from Megan Anderson. And these were big, strong shots. I mean, her lip was twisted. It was, I mean, not meaning to make light of it, but it was like she had an affliction, like she had like Bell palsy or a stroke. How bad Megan had beat up the side of her face and how it had swollen where her lip was out of form. That's how much punishment Megan put on her before Megan knocked her out. And it ended up being a first round knockout. But Megan put the pressure on. She blocked any take, and it was very obvious that Peggy Morgan wanted to take her down. Megan's takedown defense was on point. Megan was able to apply pressure. Her boxing skills is just getting better and better. The fight I want to see, and it is, Megan Anderson versus Chris Cyborg. And it's kind of funny because right now, when I think about all the fights that can be made, of all the women's fights out there, there's the fight I want to see the most, and it doesn't have Ronda Rousey's name in it, is really Chris Cyborg versus Megan Anderson. That's the fight I want to see. They're both big, strong ladies. Chris Cyborg, any of the other fights for Cyborg require Cyborg to lose an amount of weight that is not conducive for Chris Cyborg. It's only if, in order for Chris Cyborg to get down to be able to fight Amanda Nunes or Miesha Tate or Holly Holm, they're all demanding that she gets down to the 135. It's hard enough for Chris Cyborg to get down to 145, let alone get down to 135. So if you're looking at what's the best fight, the best women's fight that I, most intriguing women's fight for me is actually in Invicta, and it is Megan Anderson and Chris Cyborg. And so that's the fight I would like to see. Now, when we come back, we're going to touch on a few other cards, a few other fights that actually took place in this on Invicta. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, we're back, and we've been covering the Invicta card that went down this weekend, this Friday, and we talked about the main event and everything that went down in the main event, and then we also touched on the fight that I was most intrigued by. So the main event was Jody Escabel versus Alexa Grasso, and Alexa who had been out because of injury, came back, and she came back in spectacular fashion and won. And then Megan Anderson came in, and she annihilated Peggy Morgan with a first-round stoppage, beat Peggy Morgan up. And if you got to go look at the look on her face of how swollen her face was, that it made her face deformed at how bad Megan Anderson beat her up. So there's a couple of other fights on this card that I wanted to talk about, because sometimes Invicta does not get the recognition that it deserves. And this was one of those cards that you could easily have that, because there wasn't a lot of big names on this card, except for, you know, the biggest name probably was Alexa Grasso or Megan Anderson. But there was another fight on this card that I was really, really looking forward to seeing. And this was someone that actually stopped by our studio and did an interview with us. It was Agnieszka. And she was fighting Christine Stanley. And Agnieszka is a Polish superstar who was having her first fight in Invicta. And she had had a 2-year layoff after giving birth to her son. And so, you know, I was a big fan of Agnieszka, and I had seen all her fights over in Poland. But I thought this was going to be a big step up, especially when they brought in Christine Stanley, who Christine Stanley is a big, tough, strong woman, and she's not afraid to fight. I was actually concerned that this was going to be a much tougher fight for Agnieszka than she was expecting. And when you look at the weigh-in, and Christine Stanley's right in, gets toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with Agnieszka, and she's telling her what she's going to do to her and how she's going to beat her up. And when he gets to the ring, she's still... And Agnieszka is cooler than it comes. It just... She's very confident that she's in her ability. And guess what, guys? She has the right to be confident in her ability. Because when that fight started, it was clear that Christine Stanley wanted to land the big giant haymaker, but Agnieszka had all the skills. She had the skills for boxing. She could out-wrestle her. Agnieszka put on a showcase. I was very impressed by what she did. She handled her business. She won all three rounds, and she won all three rounds quite comfortably. Clearly, I thought maybe on the stand-up game, I thought Agnieszka would have to take Christine Stanley to the ground and kind of grind it out to win. And I was expecting her to do like a second-round stoppage. But Agnieszka stood with her, and she wanted to box. And I was surprised at how much Agnieszka's boxing skills were so much more superior than Christine Stanley. So Agnieszka won with ease. And her confidence, you know, everyone thought maybe she was overcompensating by trying to pretend like she was confident. guys, her confidence is real. She believes in herself. And because she's in Poland, a lot of people haven't had a chance to watch this lady. But this lady is the real deal. Now that she's come to Invicta, she is a serious contender for the flyweight division. And I'm looking forward to seeing her as she steps up the competition. Invicta, you need to have this woman on your next event right away, because she is a must-see in the Invicta world, because I think right now she's one of the best fighters in Invicta. So I'm looking forward to seeing more with her. Another fight. Let's talk about another fight here. And that was Cindy Dandos. And she was fighting Jasmine Duke. And I was watching this fight, and I was kind of disappointed. Cindy came in, and she took her to the ground right away. And Jasmine has been a good fighter in Invicta. But, you know, this fight took off. Cindy took her to the ground right away and started doing the ground and pound right out the gate. Without question, the best wrestling skills there was with Cindy. But by the time Cindy had put on her arm lock, before anything had been latched on, Dukes was actually tapping before any pressure was ever applied. And that was disappointing. This was Dukes, I think this is her fifth or sixth loss in a row. And so it was disappointing to see how she tapped out. So I think she has six straight losses. This is her fifth loss then. She lost three in UFC and then her last two in Invicta. And three of her last four have been all by first round stoppages. I don't want to say that she needs to retire, because she has a record of 3-5. But I think it's time, you know, when you start out 3-0 and now you've lost five straight, something's not working out. And Miss Dukes either needs to consider giving it up, which I don't want her to do. I think if she has the heart and desire to fight, then she should. But I think she should take some extended time off. I mean, some extended time off and hone in her skills and make some changes. She needs wholesale changes in her fighting skills and what she brings to the table, because you cannot go into a situation where you've lost five straight fights and you're tapping before the arm bar even gets on you. So I think she needs to take some time, some extended time off. It makes it interesting. That was a big win for Cindy. Cindy, a much needed win by Cindy as well. I think this really kind of puts her back on the map for Invicta and what can happen next for her. When you dive into her record and you try to see what's going on with her, I'm pulling up her last couple of fights as well, and trying to see where she can go in the bantamweight division, because there's still some fights for her as well. One of the things that always catches my attention with her is this: her corner partner is Miesha Tate. And I was kind of curious to see what Miesha Tate looked like after the big beatdown that she took from Rose Namajunas. She looked really good. Her nose, it looks like it's healed up. But when you look around and you say, you know, when you're, you know, so she's been training with Cindy's been training with Miesha Tate, and you look at her last couple of fights. She has a win against who I think is the second best fighter in Invicta right now, which is Megan Anderson. I mean, in the higher divisions, that is the heavier division, and the bantamweight division. You know, she has a win against Megan Anderson, and then she has the stop. She has the stoppage from Duke. So she's won. She's won three of her last four fights, all by either KO or submission. So she's been on a little bit of tear, and you know, I'm very curious to see what happens there. I think if you don't put together Cyborg and Megan Anderson, I think a Cindy Dandos versus Megan Anderson rematch would be the perfect filler in for Megan Anderson's next fight. So that's what I kind of would like to see. A lot of the things that going on right now in Invicta right now all revolves around what's going to happen with Megan Anderson, I think. So that's interesting. Next, we're going to talk about some other fights that was also on this card. So you also had some other fights. You also had, I can never pronounce her name. It's Mizuki. I'm just going to go with her first name, Mizuki. I cannot versus Lynn Alvarez. And Mizuki was actually a very tough fighter. She's a buzzsaw, and she looked so good in this fight. She in the strawweight division. She's another woman that's contending for that strawweight title now. She's put her name in the mix for that Invicta strawweight title. So you also had her. But as a whole, when you look at this card, you were able to showcase a few fighters that are all in situations where within another fight or two, they're right in the title mix. You got Alexa Grasso. She's contending for the strawweight division. You got Mizuki. She's actually contending for the strawweight division. So you have that situation going. When you start thinking about the bantamweight division, you have Megan Anderson, Cindy Dibas fight again, or you could actually put Megan in with Chris Cyborg. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what happens. Featherweight division, but I'm also looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with Agoniska as far as her future goes in Invicta as well. All in all, it was a fantastic card that I really hope everyone had a chance to get in and see. I look forward to seeing what's going to happen in the future in Invicta. When we come back, we're going to touch on a little UFC news and how things could have really changed in sports media when we come back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Here, and the next thing we're going to talk about after we just got done recapping the big Invicta card and all the great fights that kind of went on and kind of what we hope to see in Invicta coming up in the near future. But now we're going to touch on a little bit of interesting news that I saw over this weekend. I was reading an article, and it was talking about who were some of the players and the purchase of the UFC, which ultimately was sold to William Morris Group, William Morris Entertainment, for $4 billion. Well, one of the things that really caught my eye is how the sale of the UFC could have really, really changed the way sports television is done. You had all the normal players who wanted to buy the UFC, a lot of the investment groups and things like that. You had the Kraft Group and groups and William Morris Group who wanted to buy the UFC. But there was a couple of other players in the mix that really could have changed television forever. A couple of people that wanted to buy the UFC, the first one, Fox. Fox Sports wanted to buy the UFC. And the way I understand it, they actually put a bid in for them. The article that I read said that HBO was interested in buying the UFC. And also ESPN was interested in buying the UFC. Now, if any of these guys, and also I believe CBS was part of that as well, but I know they said in the article that, I would love to give whomever wrote the article, I couldn't go back and find the article after I read it, so I can't give the person who wrote this article credit, so I do apologize, but it was very fascinating. It was Fox, it was HBO, it was ESPN, and I think it was CBS. All of these guys were interested in buying instead of buying the television rights, they were going to just say, you know what, the heck with the television rights, we're going to buy the organization. That would have changed sports television forever, especially if ESPN would have bought the UFC. And if I remember correctly from the article, ESPN was tossing around doing like a $3 billion, $3.5 billion offer, but in the end they decided not to place an offer. So they were really close to right about the number that was needed to actually pull this off. And so if that happens, then the whole landscape of sports television is different today. I think it would have been a much bigger buzz. I would have loved to see what would have happened to the UFC if ESPN. ESPN and ABC was the one that I really disappointed that they didn't pull it off. When you think about it, I definitely didn't want it to be HBO, because one of the problems with HBO is the fact that it's not accessible to everyone. But an ESPN buying a UFC would have been amazing, because ESPN is accessible to every single person. It really would have changed the whole landscape of mixed martial arts. It would have also changed the whole landscape of sports. You know, I think back to the Turner Network and Atlanta Braves and how that looked for so long. So when you look at this, you know, it wasn't just the Krafts and William Morris and groups like that that were looking at buying the UFC. There were actually television networks that were looking to go in. And I don't know how that would have affected the sports world, but the UFC would have been definitely available to a lot more people. I don't know how it would have worked as far as if ESPN would have bought it and Fox has the television rights. That would have been an interesting situation as well. So, but that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, is just how the litigation kind of went down. Another bit of news when you're talking about what's going on in the mixed martial arts world is, and Tyrone Woodley kind of brought that out, like with everything else, and that is how Diaz is no longer suspended, and he is now eligible to fight. And that was one of the things that I was really excited about, is that You got Nate and Tyron Woodley had made it so that he wanted to fight on the same card as Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. He wanted to fight Nick Diaz, and Nick, Nick now officially he could do this. The only problem why this will not happen is because Nick and Nate has always promised that they did not want to fight on the same card. He came off of a suspension, rolls right into his birthday. So he had the great birthday by being able, Nick gets his birthday. He's no longer suspended. He has the welterweight champion calling him out. He's in seven heaven right now. And I tell you what, I would love to see that fight. Other news that's coming up. You also have next week you have a UFC fight where you got Bruce Leroy. He's actually going to be fighting. Bruce Leroy is one of those guys who he kind of made a name for himself in The Ultimate Fighter as an entertaining fighter. After The Ultimate Fighter, he kind of took a few losses, and I thought he was going to fade away. But out of nowhere, he started winning. And if he can pull off an upset and win this time, he can put himself right back in the picture of things. So that is, I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend's group of fight. And then there was some talk about that Chael Sonnen is also available to come back as well. And what is that going to look like? So if does Chael come out of retirement and does he join and make a contention? Try to get back in the mix of things. As I talked about before also, as far as Kovacevic and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, that fight is definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of they're just trying to figure out where it's going to go. Is it going to be a UFC New York, or are they going to do an event in Poland? With that, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things about just a little bit of UFC news. Stay tuned. We'll be talking about on our next episode the UFC on Fox event that's going to be coming up. I believe it's UFC on Fox with Bruce Leroy. So we'll be talking about that. But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time at the fights. Have a good one.